In the program that follows, listeners' problems are discussed by a panel of women experts. We present the Petticoat Wife. Here to introduce the panel is the resident chairwoman, Anona Years.
Hello, well, on our panel today we have, first of all, an attractive and experienced young model, Miss Whiplash. And we also have an ever-popular broadcaster, Rennie Nose.
Hello there.
And last, but by no means least, writer, journalist, actress, political commentator, housewife, mother, professional footballer, and and part-time water buffalo, the one and only Philistine.
How do you do?
Now, off we go, and the first question... The first question comes from Mrs. DuPont.
She asked, would the team say that men and women are equal today?
Well, girls, what do we think about that one?
Well, I think...
Sure, no.
Well, what do you think, Rennie?
Down with trousers, that's what I always think.
Yes, I know you're that, Rennie. Well, we can always depend on Rennie for a bit of honest-to-goodness, down-to-earth common sense.
Knickers.
And vulgarity. And vulgarity, Rennie, thank you. Now then, what about you, Phyllis?
Well, things have changed a lot since I was a boy.
They certainly have.
Well,
I think... Trousers! Down with trousers! Well, does that answer your question?
No.
Good. And now...
Down with trousers, and if you've been around as long as I have, darling...
Thank you, Rennie. All right.
Honestly, I do apologize for that disgraceful exhibition, and since you obviously can't behave like ladies, I'm going to stop the program.
Oh!
So it's good night now. Good night now from the panel and from me, Florence Nightingale. Good night. And having stopped that program, I suppose I better start another. Or would you rather have half an hour silence in fragrant memory of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bilotti?
You'll have to pay us anyway.
Well, in that case, we'd better have it, I suppose. And here to tell you about it is John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no, I'm sorry I read that again. Oh.
And now... Reports on industry.
Today we look in particular at the causes of industrial unrest. In the boardrooms across the land, directors are being made to face up to the problems of the day, often working late into the night.
Well then, Benson.
Yes, sir?
Here's my plan.
All right, where is he? Where's my husband?
What on earth's going on?
It's my wife. It's all right, dear. I can explain everything.
Is this her? Is this the floozy you've been out with every night this week?
This is no floozy. This is the chairman of the board.
I do beg your pardon. I'm sorry I bothered you.
I do apologize about that, sir.
That's quite all right, darling.
And in some industries, positive action is being taken.
Men, I have some news for you. You will no longer have to work with the fear of unemployment hanging over your head.
Yay!
You're all fired.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. You're a real tough. Oh, it's more than I deserve.
Of course, many schemes have been developed to make use of unemployed men. Dr. Freud Zangler, will you explain your latest project?
We know the thing. Inside the airtight box, we have the unemployed men.
And what do they do?
Well, this box is a street cleaning machine. It moves around the street until their filthy British rubbish is sighted. See the hose pipe leading from the airtight box? Then, on the other end, we are having their nozzle. Their nozzle is placed over their sneaky rubbish. And then... Ready, lad? Then go! They are now drawing in their breath, and in this phase, the rubbish is sucked into their bodies. Okay, lad, straight out now.
Truly fascinating, Doctor, but how does the machine propel?
A very good question, you sneaky British schwein, but you do not catch me out. See, around here at the back, this does their pushing,
and that is
a goat.
But... this goat is painted yellow and green and blue and red.
Yeah, well, it is a goat of many colors. Now, see, we Germans have no sense of humor.
You have no sense of humor.
Correct.
The Navy also have a plan for reducing unemployment.
Well, now, actually, you see, shivvy your timbers and all that, what, right? Don't you see the men over there, standing over there at what we in the service call the sharp end? of the thingy, the boat. Is that what we call it? Yes. Well, now watch this. Ready, man?
Aye, aye, aye.
See, all the men run down to the blunt end, and as they did so, the thrusting action of their pounding feet drove the ship forward. Which would be jolly useful if we ever wanted to cap on speed.
Now, this scheme really will cut down the number of unemployed men.
Oh, yes, especially when we don't put up the rail at the blunt end. Well, just keep running.
But are these schemes enough to solve the problem? We asked the minister to comment on the situation.
Good morning. First of all, as a preliminary, before I say anything, I should comment that in the beginning, that is to start with, initially, at the very outset, it all depends, ultimately, in the last resort, when the cards are down at the end of the day, on what in the end I should say, finally, in conclusion. And that, of course, is good evening.
Thank you, Minister. Where's the brandy?
Can we perhaps find the answers to these biting social problems in the writings of Marx, Engels, or even Proust?
I thought you'd never ask.
Yes. We sent a reporter to the reading room of the British Museum to see what he could find.
Well, I'm standing here in the reading room of the British Museum, and I found the most amazing... Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I've been...
On the factory floor. The factory floor.
You said factory.
Yes, but in industrial work of...
You said factory. Fat little piggy said factory.
Piggy. Shut up.
Piggy's losing his temper.
I'm not losing my temper.
Bait, you've gone red.
I have not gone red.
Blushing. You're blushing.
I am not blushing.
He's blushing.
I'm not.
He's going to cry. Ooh, piggy's going to cry.
I'm not going to cry. Shut up.
There, poor little piggy. Don't cry, mate.
Shut up or I'll put you on the boat.
Oh, nasty little piggy.
I hate you.
See, it is a son.
So much for public relations. What are the trade unions? What are they hoping to achieve?
My executive committee and myself are aiming for an amalgamation of certain unions pertaining to the engineering industry. For example, we fear that the Locomotive Craftsmen's Union, that's the LCU, and the National Metallic Industries, the NMI, should join with the Union for Direct Representation for Iron and Magnesium Smelters, the DRIMS, or DRIMS, as we call it, you see?
I see. And what will you have when the LCU and the NMI have actually joined up with DRIMS?
Something like this, I think. LCU, NMI, DRIMS.
Well, that concludes our report on industrial unrest, and I'm sure we can all see that no good ever comes of industrial action, which results from silly, childish, petty squabbles.
And in conclusion, we can probably...
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
I'm summing up.
No. That's my job. You can't do that. You play all women's parts.
No, I don't tend not, you great fool.
Hey. Help here. Well, look, who writes this rubbish? Some time ago, we asked you to send in song titles from which Bill Oddie would create some musical masterpiece. We had hundreds and hundreds of entries, among which we rejected with regret these four. Never Put Your Hedgehog in the Fridge. I'm Sharing My Bunk with a Kipper. I Can't Hear You, Darling, for the Gherkins in My Ears. And Don't Nudge Granny When She's Shaving. We have awarded a signed LP of our show to Richard Bridgeford of Coventry for his suggestion, If Mousy Tongue Were a Scotsman. And it will be sung by Crispy Noodle.
If Mao Zedong were a Scotchman, he could dance a Thailand fling. There'd be 7 million Thailanders living in Peking, with a pigtail in his forehead and a keeper on his gong. Well, Mac Mao would be telling us how to sing this little song.
Today, thieves broke into a West End store and stole a monocle and a left boot. Police are looking for a hopping cyclops. And now, of course, it's time for your favorite cereal. Yes, the Foresight Saga is just beginning on BBC television. But if you're fed up with sitting watching TV every night, try standing. Or basket weaving, or better still, listening to radio, or even radio weaving and listening to basket. Who cares? That's your problem, don't listen to you. Whether anyone's listening or not, here is this week's episode of the serial that has listeners on the edge of their seats, reaching to turn it off. And yes, we know for a fact that several people have been following Professor Prune's remarkable tale.
It's getting quite embarrassing.
So now it's time to catch up with the Time Trousers. And the mechanic Percy have escaped the wicked King Fetish, and Miranda the nympho, nymphonic, nymphonymic, the hot mermaid, only to be confronted by the notorious Helmut von Schweinhund, who, however, reveals himself as none other than Spot, their lost dog in disguise. Or is he? We'll soon find out.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, hurry up then, or you'll miss episode six.
Six?
You seen the script? Of Professor Prune and
the Time Trousers.
It can't be. It is. It's what? Spot!
I don't believe it. I think it's someone masquerading.
Well, whoever it is, I mean to find out. Come on, you imposter. For a start, I'm sure those are false paws. Take them off. Disappeared. How cunning. I suppose there's only his voice left. No doubt he'll speak to us, and then we'll know who he really is. Go on, speak then.
What? Oh, earwigs, Uncle. We don't know where we are or what's happening.
Well, we are sometime in the future. Try and tune into a local program like we did 2 episodes ago. And we should find out more details.
What a big notion.
Then we can do some futuristic news joke.
Good idea. He turned the switch and the radio burst into life.
Oh, I'm alive.
This is the BBC Light Program.
I knew Radio 1 wouldn't last.
We welcome Commonwealth listeners on Jupiter and Mars. Here are some news for today, the 30th of February, 2069. Today was the official birthday of the Emperor of the World. Mr. Frost is still 28. He spent the morning blowing out his candles at the palace before leaving for a week's cabaret in Wolverhampton. The occasion, the post office have issued a special postage stamp inscribed with Mr. Frost's complete comic writings.
In Rhodesia, the acting leader said today,
Mbuku Nangatwani.
The GPO today announced that it is to revert to the old system of fourpenny letters early in 2017. The Postmaster General admitted that the fivepenny system had certainly had its teething troubles, but that he had felt obliged to give it a fair trial. He did not realize the size of the problem, as letters of complaint have only just reached him.
And that's the news for the 30th of February, 2069. And now, the Archers. We might as well get outside and explore. Come on! The professor leapt out of his incredible trousers, and the others followed. Beneath him, the ground was rough and rocky, but very soon he found his feet.
Ah, there they are at the end of his leg. Look at all those huge rocky mountains. If I try raising my voice, I bet there's quite an echo.
There's quite an echo.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
Right.
Quite.
I wish that damn echo had built up.
Built up.
Are you sure that's just an echo?
Just an echo? I'll just make sure.
Make sure.
Hello?
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 Shut up, then.
All right, I will.
Good, that's settled. Right, we...
I was only doing my job.
Uncle, look here. I've caught some sort of space animal.
Yes, aha. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Well, if my theories of planet life are correct, I think this could be Pluto.
Hi there, Mickey.
I was right.
Uncle, if this is Pluto, isn't the air here absolutely devoid of oxygen, which makes the atmosphere impossible to breathe?
Yes, you're quite right, Trixie.
Quick, Trixie, put on your mask. No, not your Mickey Mouse mask.
Hi there, Mickey.
Shut up. No, your oxygen mask. Can you breathe now?
I can't breathe now.
What?
I can't breathe now.
Oh, take your mask off. Now, what did you say? Put it on again. Use the microphone, okay now?
Okay. Uncle, if this is Pluto, and if there's no oxygen, and the atmosphere is so thin, surely we should all be as light as a feather and be float away.
Trixie, nobody likes a smarty pants. They caught passing birds and ate them, so that after a while they put on so much weight that they fell back down to earth again.
There are times when I think David is a little fibber.
Then they tied two elephants to their feet.
Naughty fibber.
And filled their pockets with 6-foot boulders.
Who's a little fibber?
I'm not.
Write out 100 times David is a wicked little fibber.
Shut.
Or John will smack you.
Oh, I love it when you treat me rough.
David, you're fibbing.
No.
You're a naughty fibber.
Well, fed up with being a boring old announcer. Never get any exciting bits. Or I get the dull old factual links. You get all the adventure, man. You don't do all the kicky parts and blue jokes. I'm not made of stone, you know.
I like to put up women's voices and do passion love scenes. I'm as kinky as a cummy now. I've got a bit of imagination too.
Oh, yes. What? Yes.
I could do all that and a lot more. Oh, yes. I can do it. I can do it.
Who's a little devil?
I am.
After a few hours' walk, Professor Prune and his chums find themselves approaching a petrified forest.
How frightened!
There they stopped to rest, but suddenly Professor Prune spotted something in the sky.
Look, look! Coming towards us, it looks like a sharp silver arrow. It is a sharp silver arrow.
Right, Uncle. I think it came from that spaceship.
What? What spaceship?
The one that sat landing in front of us.
Sure enough, before their very eyes, the spaceship was gently lowering itself to a firm landing. Suddenly, a door on its side slid softly open, and out came the sounds of soft music.
Radiant stars, and her skin is as white as the Milky Way. They say no man can resist her.
And when they saw her, they couldn't believe it.
Come, I'm happy to say.
There must be some mistake.
Perhaps we're being unfair. After all, no girl looks her best in one of those podgy, great inflatable space suits.
I am not wearing a spacesuit.
But I thought Booby Rella was so lovely that no creature in the universe could resist her.
Believe me, to a Martian, I'm delicious.
Everywhere. Oh, I assure you, I am Booby Rella. Booby Rella, when I first saw you, I thought you were Long John Silver.
What? What? For a moment I thought you'd been cheeky about my wooden leg. This is not the parrot. He is an angel which explains his wings.
They're not his beak.
His name is Pikelet. They are there, Pikelet.
Hello, Pikelet. Hello, Pikelet.
Pikelet and I haven't been Pikelet. We've been traveling together in this spaceship. We've both been disappointed in love.
I bet.
Tell us, Boobarella, are you from Earth, the same as us?
Yes, I am, but of course I belong to your future, if you get me.
Then you must tell me.
Yes?
How do Chelsea get on next week?
None of these things means anything to me. Nobody ever wins now, and nobody ever loses. All the football matches end in draw.
And everyone wins triple chance.
There's nothing but sleep.
I do believe they're leading up to a song.
Everyone loves each other, and everyone is loved.
Is that so hard to believe?
In your case, impossible. In our world, we're all friends.
Everything is in perfect harmony.
About this and that and the other. Professor and Pikelet talked mainly about this and that, and Boobarella talked mainly about the other. It wasn't long before Boobarella told them how the peace and purity of the universe was being threatened by the existence of an evil force.
They say there is a city on Pluto known as the City of Sin. Its lives on wickedness and perversion.
It is not like Earth, where all is calm and pure. There the people dwell in promiscuity and desire. Every woman is a strumpet. Every man a lascivious beast. All they crave for is to satisfy their senses. All they live for is pleasure. Pleasure. It sounds terrific.
Orgy.
Oh, what a way to go!
Kirby, Miller, try not to forget yourself. I can see why you want to. We are plagued to the destruction of evil. I shall take you to the city of sin, and you shall see for yourself.
With that, they all clambered onto Pikelet's back. He climbed onto a tall rock, spread his wings, lifted up wood, and fell flat on his back. After a few minutes, they were off again. Then on again, then off, on again, till at last he struggled into the air. But soon his strength began to leave him.
Come back, strength!
And down, 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 here we go, they crashed. Straight through the roof of the Palace of Perversions, in the heart of the City of Sin. And there before them stood the king of the city himself.
Ah, nice of you to drop in.
See, even his jokes are wicked.
Yes, the same. Now, I shall cast you all into the pleasure machine.
The pleasure machine?
No!
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 Wait a minute, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Night falls on Broadcasting House, and one by one the cockroaches creep out of their holes. Back into their holes creep the voices of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bilotti. The script was by Graham Garden, Bilotti, and Andrew Fisher. The song was Bilotti's, and it and the other music was arranged by Leon Cohen and played by Dave Lee and the boys. David Hatch and Peter Titheridge were the joint producers. Next week, it'll be a leg of mutton. This week, in the words of John Otto Cleese.
I'm sorry, I'll be dead again.